gracious, loving Lord, as we take your holy word into our hands, will you take us into your hands? Give us minds to understand, hearts to love, and wills to respond to your holy truth. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. On Tuesday I found myself in a quandary. I was to preach to you here on Thursday morning. I hadn't the least idea. Whatever will I preach to them about? And into my mind there came the thought, tell them about the quadrilateral of grace. Now that surprised me immensely. I remember enough from school days to know what a quadrilateral is. You know what a triangle is, something with three sides, and a quadrilateral is something with four sides. It's either a square, if all the sides are equal, or a rectangle, if two of the sides are equal and the other two are equal to themselves. A quadrilateral. Tell them about the quadrilateral of grace. It's a tall order because I'd never heard of it. Never heard of it before. I never heard that expression before. And yet it stuck. Tell them about the quadrilateral of grace. Dear ones, it's a simple and lovely matter to talk to you about grace. Grace, as you know, is the unmerited, undeserved goodness of God in salvation. Unmerited, that is to say, there's nothing about us to attract it. Undeserved, we have done nothing to earn it. It's unmerited, not responding to any kindness, goodness, or merit in me. It's undeserved, not a reward for anything I have done. The unmerited, undeserved goodness of God reaching out to me in salvation. That's grace. Now, that idea of grace runs like a golden thread all through everything that is true about us as Christians. The grace of the Lord, like a fathomless sea, sufficient for you, sufficient for me. It's tender and patient and boundless and free, sufficient for every need. I'd love to sing that to you, but you wouldn't thank me for it. Lovely words, aren't they? Here they are again. The grace of the Lord, like a fathomless sea, no end to it. Sufficient for you, sufficient for me. No matter what the day brings, sufficient, tender, patient, boundless, free, sufficient for every need. That idea of grace, the unmerited, undeserved goodness of God in salvation, that tender, patient, boundless, and free outreaching of God. If runs through everything that's true about us as Christians. The coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The law was given by Moses. Grace came by Jesus Christ. The whole prompting idea and reality of his birth was a work of the grace of God, the outreaching of God in salvation. What Jesus did for us, what he achieved for us. Listen to this lovely verse. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you, through his poverty, might be rich. I declare to you, sometimes even Scripture outdoes itself. There's one for you. The great swap. Now that's not a very theological term, but it's what that verse means. Jesus coming to us and saying, look, you give me your poverty, and I'll give you my riches. Being a Christian is living in the grace of God. Paul wrote to the Philippians and said, you are all partakers with me of grace. That's what it means to be a Christian. You live in the aura, the fathomless ocean of grace. Maybe like me, you can remember a time when you actually put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. For me, it was a memorable 23rd of February, 1940. But not everybody can date trusting in Jesus. Many people actually almost, so to speak, drift into trusting. And all they know is that they do trust in Jesus. That ability to trust him is a work of grace. In Acts 18:20, Paul says Christians are those who have believed through grace. Believing is not something I have contributed. It's not something I've worked up myself to do. It's something that was given to me by the sovereign act of God, the Holy Spirit. It's a work of grace to believe in Jesus. Paul says that the Christian message is a preaching of grace. Acts 14:3. He had been busy and God had allowed him to do remarkable things in the way of healing. What is it all, said Paul? It is God testifying to the word of his grace. That's what the gospel is, dear ones. The word of his grace. It's the message which says, look, he's a God of all grace. A God full of the unmerited, undeserved outpouring of salvation. Isn't it awful to think that all over the country, ministers are preaching the message of works? You must do this, you must do that, you must be this, you must be that. You must pull up your socks and get on with it. Beloved, you must lie back and enjoy it. It's a work of grace, trusting in Jesus. The Christian life is an activity of grace on God's part. And Paul was bidding farewell to the elders at Ephesus. He said, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you a place amongst those who are sanctified. The word of his grace. Oh, what a lovely expression. And the same grace which was there at the beginning, giving us the ability to believe in Jesus, that same grace leads us home at the end to give us the inheritance. That in ages to come, or in heaven now in this verse, that in ages to come he might show. What will he show in heaven? That in ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace. Heaven will be spent unpacking the treasure. It's like when you go on holiday, you unpack your case. Heaven is like an eternal holiday, and we're unpacking. My mind says the word portmanteau. I used it once in America to discover they didn't know what it meant. But you know what a portmanteau is. It's a great big box unpacking the portmanteau of grace. And so we could go on and on and on. It was grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fear relieved. How precious was that grace to me, the hour I first believed. So says the lovely John Newton. Through many dangers, toils, and snares I have already come. 'Tis grace that brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. It's all of grace. And then we get to heaven, it's all of grace. We are moving from the earthly arena of grace to the heavenly arena of grace. Grace all the way. Grace from the beginning of our Christian lives. Grace from the moment Jesus came into the world. Grace from the moment he died. Grace all the way through death into glory, and then grace upon grace upon grace. The unmerited, undeserved goodness of God in salvation. Now, and you may be saying to yourself, well, what about the quadrilateral? The great square of grace. All right, think of a square. It has a base, it has two sides, and it has a top. Think of it. Start with the base. Saving grace. Paul says in Ephesians 2:5, by grace you have been saved. And now, I've got to tell you a little bit about Greek, so prick up your ears. The Greek perfect tense, you have been saved, describes something that began in the past and is always true in the present. You have been saved, and you are, and you are, and you are, and you are, because the present is an ongoing thing, isn't it? When we get to tomorrow, it will be the present. When we get to the day after tomorrow, it will be the present. When we get to the day on which the Lord calls us home, it will be the present. And the salvation which began when we trusted Christ is the same in the present, and the present, and the present, and then in the eternal present. By grace you have been saved. Something happened in the past which remains true in the endless present. God's love If you look at that passage in Ephesians, God's love gave rise to mercy. Mercy expressed itself in grace. Grace imparted faith, and faith brings salvation. What a sequence. It's all there in Ephesians 2, 4 to 6. God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses and sins, quickened us together with Christ. By grace you have been saved through faith. Love gave rise to mercy. Mercy expressed itself in grace. Grace brought the ability to believe, and faith brought salvation. And that's the base of the square, of the quadrilateral. That's where everything rests secure. You have been saved by grace. By grace you have been saved. Beloved, if you have trusted Jesus, please know how secure you are. God's grace has been working in your life, and that is the unchangeable foundation on which you rest now and for all eternity. Slide one, that was saving grace. Slide one is sufficient grace. Of his fullness have we all received, and grace upon grace. I don't know what it says in our church Bible. I've not looked it up. I'm quoting what you and I call the old Bible. Grace upon grace. Grace never ending. One grace built upon another grace. The Greek says literally, grace instead of grace, or grace replacing grace. You come to the gracious God and you say, Lord, I've made a mess of it again. I had all the grace I needed yesterday and I still fell into sin. I still wasn't what I ought to be. And what does he say? Have more grace. Do have a bit more. Plenty of it. Grace replacing grace. We do not have a high priest unmoved by the feeling of our infirmities, but one who is in all points tested and tried like as we are, and yet remained without sin. Let us therefore draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and grace to help in time of need. Jesus on a throne of grace. The very essence of his reign is grace. We come and say, Lord, I've let you down again. And he says, have a bit more grace. Grace to help in time of need. Timely grace. That's side one. Side two of the quadrilateral. Oh, I love this. Patient grace. Patient grace. Dare I come to him again and say, I've let him down? Dare I come to him and say again and say, Lord, I've done it again? Dare I come to him and say, oh Lord, I've sinned? Patient grace. He never says, not you again. He never says, oh, go away. I've done with you. Patient grace. Unfailing grace. If you have tasted, says Peter, if you have tasted that the Lord is gracious,
It's not something external to him. It's something that's in him. The Lord is gracious. We lost a lot of wonderful wording when we moved from the old prayer book. We used to say, in what we call the prayer of humble access, we used to say, whose property is always to have mercy. Do you know the word property? In what we used to call science in school in my day, we were taught that substances have properties. That's to say, they bring this result and they can't help themselves. It's their property. So you have a headache and you take a humble aspirin because it has a property of curing headaches. It can't help it. You take it and it does it. Now, this is where we speak very reverently, but very truly. His property is to have mercy. He can't help it. Patient grace. You ready for the top bit now? Saving grace at the bottom. Sufficient grace on one side, patient grace on the other side, and the bit across the top to complete our square. Eternal grace. Now, says Paul to the Thessalonians, now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God the Father, who loved us and gave us everlasting comfort and good hope by grace, comfort and encourage your hearts. Be careful with that word hope. You and I say, oh, I do hope it'll be fine tomorrow. That is to say, we're sure about the time, but we're not sure about the event. And we say, hope. We're sure about the time, tomorrow is coming, but we're not sure about the event. We hope it won't rain, but it might. You see? We're sure about time, but we're not sure about the event. Now, when the Bible uses the word hope, it's sure about the event, but not sure about the time. Can you remember that? He has given us good hope through grace. That's the certainty. But when we'll get there is the thing we don't know. But when we do get there, it'll be good. And it's all of grace. Saving grace. Eternal grace. Sufficient grace, patient grace, the great square of grace. Do you look up into the heavens, and if you know any astronomy, you find the great square of Pegasus. Four stars in a perfect square, the great square of Pegasus. And certainly to the naked eye, it's an empty square. Great blank space in the sky. I'm sure it's not like that really, but to the naked eye it is. It's an empty square. What about the great square of grace? Is it empty? The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Don't you know the words? And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten Son of the Father, full of grace. And there he is at the center of the square, filling it, our Lord Jesus Christ, full of grace. Oh, may God use this word of the great square of grace, dear ones, to comfort your hearts and to give you an assurance of the good hope that awaits. Full of grace.